Jake brought this for me, and if you know what tonight, let's see, I might turn it that way. I don't think it's going to go off. But tonight, we're going to use that as part of our lesson. So if you'd like to come back and see if anyone gets shot, no, nobody's going to get shot. It's going to be okay. But the lesson tonight, I'll include something that has to do with the bow and arrow and about faith. Guys, it's nice to be with you. Again, thank you for your loving support for us for many years. If you're visiting, I grew up in this congregation. Went to school at Oklahoma Christian in the years. The church has supported us, and we really appreciate that. So nice to be with you again today. My son and I have been out here trying to do a little bit of farming, and that's always challenging, and it's challenging for me to try to do the farming from Edmond, and we live up there, and as I mentioned this morning, our support level is a little bit different at Oklahoma Christian, so I tried to do a few things to make ends meet, and part of that is our farming. That hasn't been real good for us, as all of you would know who are in farming. At least it hasn't been good for me the last couple of years. You probably did a lot better than I do. I acknowledge that. But we've been out here working, and yesterday I told my son, I said, we're going to have to stop early. Some of us feel like we're getting older. Yeah, I think we are. You know, and if I keep working and I work really hard physically, my voice gets really weak the next day. And this morning I woke up, my voice was really weak. I thought, oh boy, we should have stopped it a couple of hours earlier. But there were some weeds out in this field that needed to be dug out, I thought. And we dug out 5 pickup loads. We probably should have done 2. But anyway, if my voice is a little weak, I apologize for that this morning. But it's really good to be with you today. And thank you for the invitation to be here. I want to speak on the topic, nobody can make you. Guys, some of us feel like people are trying to make us do certain things in the church. Sometimes we feel like our parents are going to try to make us do certain things. Kids, let me just say to you, I hope all of you are practicing obedience to your parents, listening to them, and respecting them. I hope that is something that you're learning to do and you're growing. And if you learn to do that, that'll help you in so many areas of your life. But you know something? You can do what your parents want you to do, but do it with a real grudging attitude. And you can do that. And it's not very good for you. But some of us will do that. And then we'll get to a point where we say, whenever I'm on my own, I'm going to do what I want to do. Well, we can all do whatever we want to do in a sense. You know, if we want to speed going down the highway, we can speed going down the highway, can't we? Nobody can make us not speed, right? Now, we may get pulled over. We may have those flashing lights behind us. But I had someone that I knew very well that they were on the first name basis with a lot of the highway patrolmen because I thought nobody can make me drive the speed limit. And they would just fly down the road. And in a sense, that is true. You may get punished for it, but you can go ahead and speed if you want to. There's a lot of things that we can choose to do or not do. Right here in the scripture reading that we read this morning, Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus offers an invitation. And Jesus says, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon me and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. My yoke is easy and my burden is light. Guys, for 2,000 years, Jesus has been offering an invitation for people to come and follow him. Guess what? Nobody can make you do that. Nobody can make you do that. You have to decide to. As a parent, when our children were smaller, we have 3 children. One of them's living in Hawaii. Heidi, our oldest daughter, is in Hawaii with her husband. He's a doctor in the Navy. Our second daughter, Haley, is in Edmond, and our son, Heath. He's been drifting around the world. He's with me this weekend. And, you know, but we tried to teach our children. If you're a parent, I encourage you, train your children about God. Teach them about God. Almost every night, I'd say 90% of the nights of the year, I would read a Bible story to our children. We tried doing it together. Didn't work too well. So I would go to Heidi's room and we would read Bible stories for probably 20 or 30 minutes. And sometimes we would read great classics or whatever, but we'd read Bible stories. I'd go to Haley's room, read Bible stories there. I'd go to Heath's room, Bible stories with him. Sometimes it'd take an hour to an hour and 15 minutes or so to do that. But you know what? I can't make my children follow God. I can teach them. I can encourage them. I can set them example. I can be as spiritual as I can possibly be. And guys, those of us who are missionaries or preachers or teachers, we know our own weaknesses, which sometimes are great. We know our own struggles, which sometimes are very intense. And we continue to love and follow God, just as hopefully you do. But we try to teach and train our children, but we can't make them. Guys, nobody can make you come to Jesus and follow Him. The church here, what is the church here encouraging? Follow Jesus. What is the church here teaching? Come to Jesus. It's the best way to live. But nobody can make you do that. You have to decide yourself if you're going to follow Jesus or not. In Matthew chapter 10, verse 34, when Jesus was in His ministry, Jesus Christ Himself here on earth was teaching and preaching. And they accused Jesus of having demons, and they also accused Jesus of being the prince of demons. Guys, people Jesus was trying to teach accused Him of having demons and being the prince of demons. Those people, nobody could make them follow Jesus, even when they saw the miracles and they heard the teaching from Jesus Himself. Some of them chose not to follow. Nobody can make you do that. Some of us will say, boy, there are a lot of hypocrites at the church. I don't want to have anything to do with hypocrites, so I'm not going to follow God. Guys, none of us are perfect, are we? None of us are perfect. You and I will sin. You and I will make mistakes. You and I will offend people, will hurt people. Hopefully none of us are doing that consciously or unintentionally, but we will just do that. That will happen. I tell my students at Oklahoma Christian, some of you I will annoy to death with my teaching. I'm not trying to. I don't mean to. I don't want to, but my style doesn't suit you. Yet that just happens, doesn't it? And hopefully some people will like that. Well, nobody can make you come to Jesus. Nobody can. But we can't use the excuse they're hypocrites. Guys, if you want to change, what do you have to do to change things in your life? One, you have to acknowledge there's some changes that need to be made. And if you've been living a certain way for all this time and you think, I need to change, you're going to have to do some things differently. Won't that feel weird and unusual? And won't it maybe feel a little bit hypocritical to kind of be doing things differently? But if you want to change, you have to do that and live differently than you've been living. So, you know, you can use a lot of excuses for not coming to Jesus. People are hypocritical. People are they're insensitive to other people. They don't understand my life. Guys, you don't understand my life, believe me. And I know that I don't understand your life completely. But can we still love each other and help each other? Watch out for the excuses we use that keep us away from coming to Jesus. Jesus gives us the invitation today, tomorrow, tonight, always, to come and follow Him. But nobody can make you do that. In Matthew 13, verse 54 to 57, if you'd like to read along with me on that, Matthew chapter 13, verse 54 to 57, Jesus came to His own hometown. He began teaching the people in their synagogue. They were amazed. Where did this man get this wisdom, these miraculous powers, they said? Isn't this the carpenter's son? Isn't his mother's name Mary? Aren't his brothers James and Joseph, Simon and Judas? Aren't all his sisters with us? Where then did this man get all these things? And they took offense at Jesus. Jesus said to them, only in his hometown and in his own house is a prophet without honor. Jesus does all these miraculous signs, does all this teaching. What did the people say? Who is he? We know his brothers. We know his mother. What's going on here? And they wouldn't accept Jesus. Guys, I'm just saying, we can make up all sorts of excuses to not follow Jesus. Nobody can make you follow Him. But guess what, guys? God is calling you to Him. He wants you to come and follow Him and love Him. Many of us have decided we're going to follow Jesus. We're going to take a stand. We're going to live for Him. And we're going to serve Him. But, you know, nobody can make us, secondly, nobody can make us grow in our faith once we've become a Christian. Many years ago in Australia, I was preaching a sermon from Ephesians chapter 4. And if we turn to Ephesians chapter 4 and read those verses, I'd like for us just to follow along there. Ephesians 4, verse 11 through 16. And Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. It was he who gave some to be apostles, prophets, evangelists, and pastors and teachers. Excuse me. To prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up until we all reach unity in the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God and become, what's that next word? Mature. Attaining to the whole measure of the fullness of Christ. Then we will no longer be infants tossed back and forth by the waves and blown here and there by every wind of teaching, by the cunning and craftiness of men in their deceitful scheming. Instead, speaking the truth in love, we will in all things grow up into Him who is the head, that is Christ. Guys, what does God want you to be once you become a Christian? What does He want you to do? He wants you to grow in your faith. He wants you to become mature. He wants you not to be infants any longer. I was preaching this lesson in Australia, and a guy came up to me after the sermon, and he said, "You were preaching to me, weren't you?" And I said, "I don't know. Was I?" He said, "I think you were." I said, "I don't have people in mind when I prepare my lessons. I try to look at the text, and I try to just preach that. And did the text say what I said?" He said, "Yeah, the text said I need to grow up." And he said, "But I've been a baby. And I've remained a baby in my faith. And I've been a Christian for about 8 years now." Guys, this was my friend Frank Cunningham, who as a baby, when he was, well, as a young boy, his he was born to a mother, never knew his father. She was kicked out of her family because she got pregnant. She had to move from Ireland to England, struggled to survive. She had Frank. When Frank was about 6 years old, she took him to a big building, he said. So we walked up to these wooden doors. She said, "My mom knocked on the wooden doors. These ladies opened the doors. My mother pushed me through the doors and walked away." It was some nuns who ran an orphanage. And his mother went and shoved him in the orphanage at 6 years old. He said he remembers she shoved him in and he turned and looked at her and said, Mom, don't leave me here." And she did. And he was raised in the orphanage. He said at that time he prayed to God, "God, if you are real, get me back with my mom." And God didn't. And he said, "So I didn't believe in God." He got married, met a lady in a pub, in a bar, met her. As he tells this story to my students when we go visit, I have him share his story. He says, "Guys, that's probably not the best place to meet your spouse, in a bar." His wife was already alcoholic. He didn't know it. They moved to the promised land, Australia, where there were sunshine, beaches, and lots of nice weather. They moved there, and at that time, my sister-in-law, Sheila, met his wife, Faith, taught her. Faith became a Christian. And after a series of events, Frank became a Christian. But the family stayed in church for a while. His wife had kind of an addictive personality, and she got upset at something and drug the whole family away. They stayed away for maybe a year, year and a half, and then some things happened. They decided to come back. They came back, and then the wife got mad again and took them all away again. And we went and visited every time, and Frank stayed away. The family stayed away. And then she just left him and moved to England. And so Frank had the two girls, and he came back to church. It was shortly after that that I gave this sermon from Ephesians 4. He said, "Kent, I've been a Christian for a number of years, but I'm still a baby. What do I need to do to grow up?" Guys, nobody can make Frank make that decision, could they? He has to make that decision himself. If he wants to grow up and become mature. Or if he just wants to stay a baby. He said, what do I need to do? So as he tells my students, we had a come to Jesus talk at Pizza Hut. We went to Pizza Hut. We ate pizza. And we talked, what did he need to do? I just outlined a few things. Number one, just be at worship regularly. Every time the church meets, I said, be there. Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24 and 25 says, don't forsake the assembly of ourselves together, but be together. What do? You encourage one another. Frank is a real shy person. I said, Frank, your job is to encourage someone else. He said, I have trouble talking to people. I said, are you wanting to grow in your faith? He said, yeah. I said, every week, look for someone to encourage. You take the initiative. That scripture is written to everyone. So Frank began to do that. He taught Bible class one Sunday. He led the Lord's Supper. When he led the Lord's Supper, his knees, you could see his knees knocking from the back row. He was so nervous. But he began to try to do different things to grow in his faith. He worked about an hour and a half away from his home. So he decided what he would do is get up about 45 minutes earlier and read scripture and pray and have devotional time every morning. Guys, why did Frank do that? He didn't want to be a baby anymore. He wanted to grow and mature in his faith. Nobody made him do that. I couldn't make him do that. You couldn't make him do that. Guys, God wants us to grow in our faith and to become mature, but nobody can make you. You can sit in a pew the rest of your life and be at the same maturity level you were spiritually the day you walked in. And probably nobody will do anything to force you to grow up. Nobody's going to force you to. It's a personal decision. Who do I want to be spiritually? I often say to my students, I ask myself this question a lot. Who do I want to be when I grow up? Guys, who do you want to be when you grow up? Do you want to be a spiritual baby, or do you want to continue growing, maturing in your faith? That doesn't mean you'll ever be perfect, that everything will ever be right in your life. If you're growing in your faith, you can still have a lot of difficulties going on in your family, in your work, in other things, but you can still be mature in your faith. I'd like to encourage you this morning, guys, to look at maturing in your faith, continuing to grow, and put things in place that will bring you closer to God. Whether it's devotional and prayer time every day, personal Bible study and prayer, you can't get everything you need from preaching or from Bible classes. You need a daily dose of spiritual encouragement. But nobody can make you do that. It's a personal choice that you and I have to make if we will grow up in our faith. Frank continued to grow. Guys, when we moved from Australia in July 2000, who became the minister? Frank Cunningham. He still has issues with abandonment, issues with wondering if people will go away and leave him. He is very, very effective with young boys who are struggling and have challenges and difficulties that seem insurmountable. Frank is as good as anybody you've ever seen. And I'm not saying you have to become a preacher, are you understanding me, to grow in your faith. But that is what he did, and with his spiritual growth, where that led him. I am happy there are a lot of people who are not preachers, who are not ministers, who are not missionaries, who are Christian people loving God and putting him first and serving him and wanting to please him in everything they do. And all of us can do that and grow in our faith. Guys, there's just, I'll switch into fast movement mode here, okay? Let's move into fast mode, and you go with me if you will. Nobody can make you share the gospel with your neighbors. Guys, does God want us to share and teach other people about Jesus? Does he want us to let our light shine, and so other people can come to know about Jesus Christ? Yes, he does. Nobody can make you do that. Billy could preach 30 sermons on that. He could just go on and on and on and on and on. But nobody can make you do that. You have to say, do I know somebody that needs to know the gospel, and how can I share and communicate with them? How can I build a bridge to them that the gospel can travel across? Some of you are in school. You're starting school again. Parents are probably saying hooray for the most part. My kids are going back to school. Some of you kids are excited about going back to school. Look around and see. Is there a new kid at school? Is there a new kid in your class at school? Our granddaughter, Chelsea, moved 2 years ago with Heidi and Adam to Hawaii. When she got there, she was the new kid at school. There's this one girl just as mean as could be to her. Just mean. Chelsea has red hair. I think beautiful red hair. But this girl said just everything. Criticized Chelsea up one side and down the other. Heidi just kept saying, just love her. Just love her. She's got some problem. I don't know what it is, but you can't change her. Just love her. And Chelsea did. And finally, toward the end of school, they became friends. The second year, when Chelsea went to school, do you know what she said? I'm going to look for the new kids at school, and I'm going to be their friends. Two new kids came in. She became their friends. Over 30 years ago, when we were living in Australia, a girl moved into Heidi's school. She was from Wagga Wagga. You ever heard of Wagga Wagga? No, it's a little country town about 5 hours out of Sydney. Heidi came home one day and she said, hey, we got this new girl at school. She's from Wagga Wagga. We said, tell us about her. And she said, she is beautiful. She is absolutely gorgeous. And I heard her singing as she's walking through the quad at school. She has a beautiful voice and she is smart as can be. And all the girls hate her. And we said, well, Heidi, what about you? She said, we're going to be friends. About a year later, Elizabeth was not only her friend. She was her sister in Christ. Because Heidi loved her, shared with her, and took in the new kid at school. I could tell you a bunch of other stories like that, guys. But look around. See who's new in the community. What does every parent want for their child? Friends, don't they? Good friends. And maybe you will be that good friend that will be a good friend to them and you'll help them understand about Christ. But nobody can make you do that. Guys, nobody can make you love your spouse. Nobody can make you love your spouse. You can be nice to everybody out here and everybody sees you and nice and friendly. You can be a jerk to your spouse. You can get behind at home and you can just not be nice and not kind and not thoughtful and not loving. God doesn't want that. Husbands, He wants you to love your wives as Christ loved the church and as Christ gave Himself for the church. He wants you to love, but you don't have to. Nobody can make you do that. You can just continue to be thoughtless, insensitive, selfish, and it goes both ways. Could I encourage you guys to love your spouse? But nobody can make you do that. You could go to a marriage and family counselor for a year. They could tell you everything you need to do, and you could still ignore that and not do that. Nobody can make you do that, but God really wants you to love your spouse, live considerately with them, and share your love and your faith together. Nobody can help you make you keep first things first. Does anybody have trouble keeping first things first in their life? I mean, I do. I'm a minister. I'm a teacher. I've been a missionary. I still struggle keeping first things first. Nobody can make you do that. But from time to time, we have to assess and say, what is my life really about? What is the most important thing to me? Am I keeping God, the first thing in my life, really first in my life? Or have I pushed Him down to number two or number three or further down? Nobody can make you give generously. Nobody can make you give generously. God wants us to be generous people. He wants us to share from our blessings. He wants us to give cheerfully. He wants us to, those of us who have money, He wants us to be generous, be willing to share, and do good for other people. 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 17 through 19. But nobody can make you do that. I don't think anybody here knows what anybody else is giving, probably. I go to Memorial Road, big church. No, I guess there's one or two people that know what I'm giving. But, you know, I could give 5 cents a week. Nobody would know. But God wants us to be generous. Nobody can make you do it. You have to just decide to do that yourself. Guys, I'm about finished. I see some of the kids are getting restless. Maybe some of the adults are too. But let me just encourage you to think it's your personal decision on where you're going to be spiritually. You're going to have a lot of encouragement, hopefully, from preaching, from teaching. Hopefully, you have some people in this church that love you. And if they see things aren't going right, they will talk with you and encourage you to do the right things. But nobody can make you. You have to decide. And hopefully, you're thinking about verses like, let's see, is that Romans chapter 5? This verse that says, at the right time, Romans 5, 6, while we were still powerless, Christ died for the ungodly. Very rarely will anyone die for a righteous man, though for a good man someone might possibly dare to die. But God demonstrates His love for us in this, while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Maybe verses like that will motivate you to say, I'm going to live for God. I'm going to put Him first. And I know many of you are doing that. I'm not trying to come in and say nobody's doing that. But I'm just saying all of us need to move in that direction. And I hope the example from Romans 5 talks about God leaving us when we were unlovable will motivate us and move us to be the people God wants us to be. But nobody can make you do that. You have to decide. This morning, if you're not a Christian, we'd like to give you the opportunity to put Christ on in baptism. Jesus, as we read in the first verse, is offering us an invitation to come to Him. He's still offering that invitation today. He wants you and He wants me to come to Him and to follow Him. He wants us to acknowledge Him as the Christ. He wants us to turn from our sins through repentance and turn in faith to Him. And He wants us to be buried with Him in baptism so that our sins will be forgiven, so that we will be added to the body of Christ, so we will be clothed with Christ. And if you haven't been baptized into Christ, we want to give you the opportunity to do that. If there's something the church family here needs to pray for you, I know we'd be happy to do that this morning. If there's any way that we can help you spiritually, we'd be glad to do that. Do we have an invitation song? Let's stand and sing together.